The following is a class on the Srimad Bhagavatam, 3rd Canto, 33rd Chapter, Text Number 2, given by His Holiness Srila Satsarupa Das Goswami on August 20th, 1992, in Vrindavan, India.
Translation: Devahuti said, Brahma is said to be unborn because he takes birth from the lotus flower which grows from your abdomen while you lie in the ocean at the bottom of the universe. But even Brahma simply meditated upon you, whose body is the source of unlimited universes. Purport: Brahma's name is Aja, he who is unborn. Whenever we think of someone's birth, there must be a material father and mother, for thus one is born. But Brahma, being the first living creature within this universe, was born directly from the body of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is known as Garbhodakshayi Vishnu, the Vishnu form lying down in the ocean at the bottom of the universe. Devahuti wanted to impress upon the Lord that when Brahma wants to see him, he has to meditate upon him. You are the seed of all creation, she said. Although Brahma was directly born from you, he still has to perform many years of meditation, and even then he cannot see you directly, face to face. Your body is lying within the vast water at the bottom of the universe, and thus you are known as Garbhodakshayi Vishnu. The nature of the Lord's gigantic body is also explained in this verse. That body is transcendental, untouched by matter. Since the material manifestation has come from this body, his body therefore existed before the material creation. The conclusion is that the transcendental body of Vishnu is not made of material elements. The body of Vishnu is the source of all other living entities, as well as the material nature, which is also supposed to be the energy of that Supreme Personality of Godhead. Devahuti said, you are the background of the material manifestation and all created energy. Therefore, you're delivering me from the clutches of Maya by explaining the system of Samkhya philosophy is not so astonishing, but your being born from my abdomen is certainly wonderful, because although you are the source of all creation, you have so kindly taken birth as my child. That is most wonderful. Your body is the source of all the universe, and still you put your body within the abdomen of a common woman like me. To me, that is most astonishing. Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Pristaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Niti Namane Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pracharane Nirvishesha Sanyavani Prastitade Sitarane. This begins prayers of Devahuti. In the first verse in the chapter, she thanks the Lord, or Maitreya rather, describes that by hearing from Lord Kapila, Devahuti was liberated. So now in gratitude, she's making prayers. The Srimad Bhagavatam is filled with prayers like these, which are not just lip service, but are deep acts of surrender, and they please the Lord. Therefore, when we study them, we can learn what is Bhakti Yoga, what is the relationship between Krishna and his devotees. She begins by describing how Krishna, in his Vishnu form, is very far away and inaccessible. Even Lord Brahma, who is, in one sense, a very intimate servant of the Lord, he has so much important business with Krishna to exchange. Prabhupada once said that we can talk with Krishna, but he doesn't talk to any nonsense person. He talks to his intimate men with whom he has some affairs, as even in the material world, some big executive or whatever we consider a big person like that. He has regular communication with persons who have similar important business, but not with ordinary people. So, Brahma, is manager of the universe, but he cannot get to see Krishna, according to the statement here. And the process is that he goes to the shore of the milk ocean and meditates, as we know from the beginning of the Krishna book, at the advent of Krishna. He only heard, and in this way he communicated with Vishnu. The others, the other demigods, they couldn't even hear. So this is an opulence of God, his being inaccessible. And in itself, if that is all there was, inaccessibility, it is not a very adorable feature. In the material world, if a very powerful person is only inaccessible, and sometimes the common people become envious and they revolt. You see in Europe now, even when you travel, so many castles of rich landowners or former kings, and everyone else had a small cottage, but he had a big palace, and it was like a fort, and it had to be like a fort, because periodically the peasants would get together and say, why has he got everything? And they would storm his palace, and he would try to fight them off. So Krishna is not like that, but still sometimes the jivas become envious like that. But we cannot see God. Well, God is in the kingdom of God, or God is in heaven. What does he have to do with us? He's so far away from our affairs. Yet this is a sign of his greatness, that he does not have to be troubled by every petty matter, or have to see people that he does not want to see. Naham prakasha sarvasya yogamaya samavita. Krishna says, I keep a curtain of maya between myself and these foolish people in the world. They do not know me. And rather than be envious of it, it is actually, for the devotee, one of the opulences or worshipable features of God, his aloofness from the material creation, his not suffering what we have to suffer, and his privilege, if you want to call it that, to enjoy his pastimes free from material birth, death, and struggle. But Devahuti points out that Krishna is also very accessible. And she considers this the more wonderful of the two features, the inaccessibility of God, and the fact that although he doesn't have to be with anybody in this material world, and he's self-satisfied in any case, he does become very available, and he very much likes to do that. So she points out, in her case, that he became her child. This is the same statement, or the same position as Devaki. When Lord Vishnu appeared in the prison house of Kamsa, Vasudeva made prayers. And he said that you, my dear Lord, are the source of all the universes. So how is it that you have appeared as the baby, as a child of Devaki? It is very astonishing. But I think I understand your reasoning in doing this, because actually that's the same system you use when you appear in this universe. As Garbhadakshay Vishnu, you come into each universe, although you're the source of all universes. They come from your pores as Mahavishnu. But then you come into each universe, and then as Shirodakshay Vishnu, you come into each person's heart and to each atom. So if you can do that, you may also come into the womb of Devaki. These two features of the Supreme Lord are apparently contradictory, and they're also mentioned in along with other contradictory qualities of Krishna in the Isopanishad. Tad ajati, tad nayajati, tad dure, tad vantike, tadu sarvasya. Krishna is described as he walks, but he does not walk. He is far away, but he is very near. He is inside everything, and he's outside at the same time. So even when he does come in, or when he does become accessible, he doesn't lose his all-pervading nature. Another example is material elements. In a small amount, they're within each of our bodies, 16 elements. But that doesn't mean they're exhausted by being within our bodies. They're also in their vast reservoirs of Mahatattva. They're in the universe, but they're also within our body. So Krishna is tadure tadvantike. He's very far away. If you travel by the speed of the mind for millions of years, you'd never reach him. And yet, in a second, he comes to accept your offering. Therefore, we want to know, by the science of bhakti, how we can become close to Krishna, and not only understand him from a great, great distance. And that's what bhakti yoga is about, how to approach Krishna. In one sense, we don't have to approach or cover a big distance. The distance is just a mental distance. Krishna is already very close to us. I remember in the very early days of ISKCON, one of the first devotees who left, it was a shock to us, and we went and asked him, why have you left? And he said, this Krishna, now he seems very alien to me, very far away. This Indian system and Krishna seems very alien. So we told Prabhupada this. He said, that is his rascaldom that he says that. Krishna is not far away from him. And he said, it is like a son whose father is there, but the son says, I don't know my father. I feel very distant from my father. So due to some disagreement, the distance is created in a naturally intimate union. So that's our relationship with Krishna, and we've created this misunderstanding, this distance between ourselves and him. What is that distance? It's made up of our wrong mentality, that we are the Lord, therefore not the Yogamaya curtain comes down between us. We don't believe in God, or we don't want to obey his laws. But even when we take to Krishna consciousness, we are sincere to close the gap, to come into intimate service of Krishna through the spiritual master, still we feel the distance. We receive very intimate association with Krishna through his name or through the deity service. But the distance is there due to different offenses, aparads and anarthas. So that even when we chant, even in our own tongue, the holy name, but Krishna, it seems like he's not there. Therefore, there are conditions for Krishna to become accessible to us. Krishna, Radha Krishna, as we worship in Vrindavan, and their associates, all the residents of Vrindavan, they're all very, very close to Krishna. So this is a proof that he's very accessible. With them, there's no, you have to go through a secretary or he's in a big palace. Everyone can come and go and be with Krishna, and he gives himself to everyone. However, those who are with him in that, they're very exclusive devotees. And most devotees are not allowed into that kind of association. So even within the accessible expression of Krishna, there is that distance from those who are not qualified. Because the pastimes are so loving, so free of envy, that any disturbing element would spoil them. So Krishna is not going to have some nonsense present at when he is in his most loving feature and when all the devotees want to exchange with him. And so there is a system of keeping away impure persons. Or it's done in such a way that mostly they don't, it's not that they want to be with Krishna in that feature. So they're off somewhere else according to their desires and their karma. But Krishna is with his pure devotees. So the qualifications are that they just want to serve Krishna. Their happiness is in Krishna's happiness and pleasing him. And this is the intimate entourage of the Lord. And this is what we are striving for by service to come closer to Krishna. There's a word, upaniti, used for coming close to the spiritual master. Same word is in the Upanishad. And there the closeness, coming closer to the representative of Krishna, is described. Someone may say, I have a spiritual master, but I feel distant from him. So how am I going to get close to Krishna? So coming close, upaniti, by initiation, so that the guru can speak right into your ear the confidential mantras and instructions. How do you do that? Is it just by brash pushing yourself forward, or paying money or something? No. It's by austerity, by service, or by inquiry and service and austerity, that the guru calls you near. And then by hearing and continuing to serve, you become nearer to Krishna. Krishna becomes attracted to you. Now, when Krishna sees our attempting to do this, Prabhupada used to say, if you take one step towards Krishna, he'll take many, many steps towards you. He's more interested in your being with him than we are interested in being with him. Still, sometimes Krishna, he himself creates a distance. Not just because the devotee is unqualified, but he wants to make the devotee more eager. So, for example, in the devotional service of Narada, after learning Bhakti Yoga at 5 years old from the Bhakti Vedantas, when Narada was alone, he practiced meditation. And here we read that Brahma meditates, and that's all he can do is meditate. He cannot see Krishna. But Narada very quickly got results, and Krishna appeared before him, satisfying all desires for the perfect form and the perfect person. But that was a brief darshan, and when Narada tried it again, he could not see the Lord. But the Lord spoke to him and said, as long as you still have some dirt, I will not be present before you. Just to increase your hankering for me, you'll not see me again in this lifetime. So this, Krishna was an expert psychologist, expert guru, and this created in Narada intense desire to again see the form that he had glimpsed. And the rest of his life he wandered and chanted and preached the glories of the Lord, and finally now he gained very free access to Krishna. Narada, he's always seen Krishna. And another prominent example of Krishna creating distance to increase eagerness was with the gopis. When Krishna left Radha, and before that all the gopis in the rasa dance, then they were searching for him everywhere, and finally Krishna appeared before them. So they were very, very happy, but at the same time they were angry in love that Krishna had done this. So they said to Krishna, we want to ask you about love. As we understand it, there are different kinds of lovers, and which are you? There is one kind of lover who reciprocates just exactly as one does unto him, he returns the equal amount of affection. Another kind of lover, he's always giving affection, even if the other person does not give affection. And the third kind never gives affection. What can you tell us, which do you prefer, or which is the most honest? So Krishna said, actually I'm none of those, and here's my opinion of those. The person who reciprocates, comes as close to you as you come to him, that's not a very good loving person. It's more like business. Only whatever you give, he gives back. There's no heart in it. He just calculates, how much have you given? All right, I'll give that much. So I don't think that's even love at all. And the other one, that's very nice, that even if the lover is contrary, that person still comes forward. In the Krishna book, Prabhupada gives the example of parents with a child. The child may misbehave, but the parents still love. And then the third kind, those who don't reciprocate at all, Krishna said they have two subdivisions. One is an Atmarama person who is wrapped in meditating and worshipping God. He doesn't care if people love him or not by his impartiality. But another kind of person is very ungrateful to parents, especially anybody who gives him things. So he's called a Guru Druha because he's ungrateful to the Guru. So indirectly, Krishna was saying that I'm Atmarama, I don't really need anyone's love, but I'm not a Guru Druha type of person. I very much appreciate your service. In fact, while you could not see me, I was enjoying your mood of love for me. So all your desires were being accomplished. And as a result of that, you became more and more eager to see me. So don't be angry with me. The psychology is that if something is too much accessible, then we take it for granted. We think, oh, I can have this person anytime I want. And we become abusive in our minds. But if you cannot get something, or if you almost lose something valuable, then it creates the urgency and the sense of value. For example, if a person has some money and he loses it, and he's thinking about the money, where is my money? And he's searching in his house and everything. When he finally finds the money, after that separation, he's very happy to get it again. So we may think it is cruel of Krishna or unfair of Krishna, especially to we, bhaktis. I've been serving for so long, why doesn't Krishna become accessible to me? But we should know that he's working for our interest. He's trying to find a way for us to come to him. But we have to be deserving before we can be close to Krishna. Otherwise, there's no intimacy by just vapu, closeness, but the serving mood has to be there. So Krishna is getting us ready, sometimes by bringing us closer and sometimes by creating a distance. So these two features of the Supreme are always there. And from our side, we shouldn't serve in any conditioned way. That if he's near, I'll serve. And that's it. The unconditioned is expressed ashlishava paravatam punastamam adarshanam mamahato purotuva. Krishna, even if you're not with me, you're far away from me, and you're off somewhere else with others, I will still love you without any condition. Ahaituki apritihita. So whether Krishna shows us his closeness or farness, we should always feel close. And we have that ability by Prabhupada's mercy, by the activities we've been given, to actually be close and have the faith that Krishna is near. Krishna is in his holy name. And these distances that I have created, now I must work in such a way that Krishna will see I really do want to qualify to be with him. And this way, even in the meantime, we can be certain of Krishna's presence and always aware that he is working on our behalf. Hare Krishna. So I'll stop here. Are there any questions or comments? Yes?
It appears in this passage of Devakita Kapila, there is no mention about their mother and son relationship. Is there any recognition at all that there is some passage of Kapila before the child?
I only know this pastime from Srimad Bhagavatam, and we don't hear childhood pastimes. We just hear that Kardama decides to go away. And at that time, the son has already grown up, and then Devahuti takes lessons from Kapila. But someone may know from some other sources, childhood pastimes of Devahuti Kapila. Yes? Everybody hear the question? At least Krishna, so Krishna says, I respond as they approach me. So at least Krishna is fair, according to that statement. He's not lacking in an equal reciprocation. So that's a general statement. And the other statement tells us even more confidential information that although he's generally fair to everyone, if you want to see him as Brahman, he will appear as Brahman. If you want to see him as Super Soul, he'll appear as Super Soul. If you want to be a Bhakta, he'll appear as Bhagavan. And then he says in another verse that I am equal to everyone, but I'm partial to my devotee. So there we see the like the further explanation of I'm equal to everyone. Equal is general, and partial is for the persons who are his actual friends and devotees. So then if you say, but why? He should be only equal. But now we see that that's from the statement of Krishna to the gopis, we see that that's really not such a magnanimous or loving position, the 50-50 exchange. So we usually hear that people criticize God for being partial, but actually God could be criticized for not being partial. If he doesn't, why doesn't he love his mother Yasoda more and love the gopis more than ordinary religionists? And the answer is he does love them more. Well, actually that's a more important feature. Does that answer the question? Partial he is. Impartial he is. But he's more than that. So we have to not be cheated, not cheat ourselves into just one of those business exchanges with Krishna. Just like Prahlad Maharaj, he underwent austerities. So Nrisimhadev said, oh, all right, what do you want? So Prahlad didn't fall into the trap, 50-50. You did something for me, Prahlad, I'll do something for you. No, he said, don't talk like that. My lord, I didn't do this for business. I just want to keep doing and doing and doing for you. I don't want that kind of reciprocation. But we may fall into that trap. I did this, now you do this. Yes.
Sita-deel person. So what is this activity? What is the name of Sita-deel?
What is the word?
Sita-deel.
Sita-deel.
What is the name of Sita-deel? What is the activity called?
Sita-deel. That's mentioned in the Bhagavad Gita. Sita-deel Muni. A person who is fixed in his intelligence. So you can read it there in the second chapter of Bhagavad Gita, the different qualities, but among them are impartiality, equanimity, that if something good happens to him or something bad happens to him, he regards them both as the same. He doesn't get flustered, doesn't get agitated by things that happen. He's fixed in transcendental consciousness. He doesn't speculate on different theories of God, but he's fixed in parampara, understanding. Sthitadhi means a fixed, intelligent devotee. Sthitadhi Muni.
Yeah,
has no activities yet.
No, he has many activities on behalf of Krishna. But while doing those activities, he remains fixed. Whatever he's doing. Like Srila Prabhupada, he lived in Vrindavan in the 1950s, and then sometimes he would go into New Delhi to get money and print his books. So he writes in one place that they see me in the printers and buying paper, and they think that in the name of a sannyasi I become a businessman. But actually, I am fixed in the service of Krishna. So whether he was doing bhajan in Vrindavan or being in Delhi buying paper, he was sthitadi. He has activities. Anyone else? All right, thank you. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai.